Engineers recommend a $30 million repair of Lutac Dock. And the Haines School asks for community input on spending priorities. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Abby Collins. Those stories and more, up next. Engineers hired by the Haines Borough recommended a $31 million renovation to keep Lutac Dock standing. The dock is Haines' lifeline to freight and fuel, and there's no question it needs a major overhaul. The question is how to pay for it. KHNS's Emily Files has this report from the most recent Lutac Dock meeting.
Lutac Dock is nearing the end of its life and is in serious need of repair or replacement. The borough contracted with R&M consultants to explore three project possibilities. R&M presented those alternatives Wednesday night. They range in cost from $20 to $60 million. Lutac Dock was built in the 1950s. It's made up of circular sheet pile cells filled with earth that hold up a concrete dock. Of the three alternatives presented, R&M engineer John Daly recommended the one that involves encapsulating the existing sheet pile cells with new ones.
You know, it's pretty efficient. It maintains your use of the uplands. It will continue to support multi-purpose use. Your existing users can continue their operation, and other users could come in case-by-case basis and use the dock.
Daly said there is some risk to driving new sheets between cells. That is one reason he factored in a 25% contingency to the estimated price of $31 million.
I'm not going to tell you it's easy or there isn't any risk, because there is.
Option 1's $30 million cost is middle of the road compared to the other two alternatives. Option 2, the most expensive, is to demolish the existing dock and replace it with a new facility.
That would give you a real high level of performance. Everything would be brand new.
But it's not cheap. The price tag for a brand new dock is about $60 million. On to option 3, the least expensive. This design mimics what the Alaska Department of Transportation did to their side of Lutac Dock, which is where marine highway ferries tie up. It would entail removing the existing dock and constructing berthing dolphins with catwalks.
So you wouldn't have an edge of a dock like you have now that you tie up to. It'd be just like the ferry berth that you have with a series of dolphins, and you'd have to access everything with a catwalk.
This option is about $20 million, but it has some downsides. The borough would lose about 2 of its 4 acres of uplands. Daly said current operations with Alaska Marine Lines and Delta Western would be able to continue, but future business might be limited by this structure. Daly said even though a new dock is the best option, it's cost prohibitive. So he said the choice is between option 1 and 3. Daly recommended 1 because it maintains the uplands and accommodates more multi-purpose use. The discussion now goes to the Port and Harbor Advisory Committee and Planning Commission. The Port and Harbor Committee weighed in right away on Thursday morning, and they differed slightly from Daly. Daly recommended design 1B, which would encapsulate most of the cells but leave out the 2 closest to the ferry dock. Jeremy Stevens warned that leaving cells 6 and 7 alone might cause a liability for the borough. Stevens is familiar with the dock because he worked as an engineer for DOT when the department was renovating its section of Lutac.
Only issue I have with 1B is that it excludes cells 6 and 7, which means there will be a liability for when the environment eventually takes those cells and the material spills out into the ocean and the borough has to clean it up.
On that advice, the Port Commission voted to endorse option 1A, not 1B. 1A encapsulates cells 6 and 7. It also costs about $5 million more. Port Commissioner Fred Gray voted against the recommendation. He wanted the group to confer with the Planning Commission and get on the same page before voting. As borough groups work to come to a consensus on a design, Interim Public Facilities Director Sean Bell said funding will also factor into what model gets built.
The funding is the battle, and that will kind of tell us which way we got to go here.
The borough has so far applied for one federal grant that, if approved, would contribute $5 million to the project. But with a possible $30 million cost, that's just a drop in the bucket. In Haines, I'm Emily Files.
The Haines School is facing a tough reality. With a looming budget deficit anticipated for next year, the district is looking at a combination of cuts and dipping into savings to compensate. And they're looking for input from the public as they decide what stays and what goes. The first community meetings this week were sparsely attended. Last week, the district found out they'll likely be getting less state funding than expected for the coming school year. Right now, they're looking at nearly a $500,000 deficit. And even if the district wiped out all of its reserves, it wouldn't be quite enough to cover the shortfall. Superintendent Tony Habra met with the public to explain the situation and gather community input as administrators move forward with the budget process.
Our option is to find some way to adjust to the new reality of less money. And that means probably reductions and spending of some of our savings.
Habra asked the handful of community members that came to the first meeting a series of questions to help prioritize as they decide on reductions. One question was, when are we at our best?
I think that we're at our best when we have a lot of opportunities.
That's Pam Long.
And when we have a lot of diverse opportunities for our children, that everyone needs something different.
Long was one of just two community members that spoke up at the meeting. The other, Alyssa Coverdan, said the school is at its best when spirits are high and stress is low.
I would say when the teachers are happy about learning and the kids are happy about going to school and no one's under stress about finding supplies to teach the kids.
The biggest factor affecting funding right now is school enrollment. The number of students decreased this year, and by a conservative estimate, the district is expecting to lose another 10 students next year.
Our entire budget is based on our enrollment. The school districts don't really have a way of raising funds. We have what we get from based on how many students we have.
State revenue could increase if the number of students in the district exceeds expectations. That's what happened this year, meaning the school had to use less of its savings than anticipated, despite the decrease in students. But that is the best-case scenario. As they look toward making cuts, Habra asked what is most important to keep. Coverdan said anything that involves hands-on learning should stay. Long said it's also important to focus on teacher retention, recognizing that they may be facing a heavier workload depending on what gets cut.
Having in professional development, and I think that the next step to a program for the student is a program that makes our teachers and administrators and staff happy, not just happy, but, you know, fulfilled and having what they need so that they can then provide and fulfill what we ask them to do.
Finally, Habra asked how the community thinks they should move forward. Here's Coverdan.
Look at the easy ways of cutting costs and see about where, like, other resources of, you know, finding extra, where the monies can come from. Mm-hmm. And then searching that out and not necessarily just cutting things just to save money.
As for how the administration proceeds, there are still a few factors they're waiting on. Contract negotiations, insurance costs, and legislative action affecting the state budget. And Habra hopes the community will continue to provide input. The second meeting of the night didn't even happen because of lack of attendance. But the public can still leave comments through an online survey. Habra says that will help the administrative team as they make decisions about the budget. For KHNS News, I'm Abby Collins. Thanks for joining us this evening. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website at khns.org. We also have news and announcements on our KHNS Facebook page, so make sure you follow us there. We're always open to your comments and story ideas, so drop us a line at news@khns.org or reporter@khns.org.